Go long! Go long!
Sometimes longer isn't better. So if you're looking for a fantasy NFL game that doesn't last all season, try Paddy Power Fantasy. Every game week is a season in itself. Try it for free on our super short, super free contest on this Sunday's 6pm games. The top 1,500 customers in the contest win a prize with £200 for first place. Search Paddy Power Fantasy to pick your team.
Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show presented by Paddy Power Fantasy. Good to have you with us this fine and sunny Friday. Tom Deacon at ESPN HQ will be checking in with him very shortly as we preview all the key weekend action, including his beloved San Francisco 49ers heading down to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Something has to give in what might well be the game of the season so far. So we'll deep dive into that, look back at Thanksgiving and get you set for all the key weekend action. Our fantasy league is back. Daily fantasy league. You can play the 6 o'clock games on Sunday. It's free to enter, gang. Cash prizes flying around. I know a lot of you have got involved and won. Head on over to fantasy.paddypower.com/league/Nat Coombs Show. fantasy.paddypower.com/league/Nat Coombs Show. We're going to roll that out on our social channels as well at the NC Show. Get involved. Have a bit of fun. I might even beat the OG this week. Speaking of which, we're dropping our daily fantasy pod tomorrow morning, Saturday morning that drops. And if you haven't already, subscribe to us and you won't miss a trick. Right, let's get straight down to business and welcome the terrific Tom Deacon. Tom Deacon, full of festive cheer.
I know. I think just after Thanksgiving, it's good to be thankful. I'm wearing a San Francisco 49ers Christmas-based jumper with a lights flashing.
With an LED system.
Should I turn it off? It's quite annoying, isn't it?
It's giving me a bit of a headache after last night's Thanksgiving work we were doing.
Yeah.
We've had an interesting pre-show chat about, we covered, in a particular order, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
His possible gangster ties.
Yeah,
of course. Safe. Just kidding on that. Nas?
Yeah, and safety deposit boxes and storage. Because I was just thinking about teams and you know, storage and essentially all of those things that you do when you talk about NFL. Mm. He's a team player, is good old Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
Yeah, and that's why I'm wearing the Niners top today.
I love the Niners top. It is a thing of beauty. And if you want to go and check it out, we'll put some pictures on our social channels at the NC Show. And it might even appear on ESPN UK's YouTube channel as well.
Why I'm here, Nat. Thank you for having me again.
It is great to have you back, man. Enjoyed it watching a bit of Thanksgiving with you last night?
Yes.
Thanksgiving football, that is.
Yeah.
Most of people enjoying Thanksgiving.
What a lovely image, just looking through the window, just watching other people enjoy themselves.
Walking up to tables and standing a little bit too close.
Yeah, have you finished with work, Turkey? You won't finish all that.
put it in the bag. Put it in the bag.
But what a great way to start. Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, and you were sort of, you were adamant that the Bears were going to win that, and they didn't get off to a flyer. So it was quite interesting to watch that with you and everything that was going on, really.
Yes, I almost walked myself into a big problem there. But luckily, Mitch came good. How about that? Is this the turning point for Trubisky, do you think?
Mr. MVP Mitch. Yeah. Don't ask him to throw very long balls. He'll be fine. Yeah, short passes. And your main man, Anthony Miller, what a lights-out performance from him.
Definitely Mitch owes him a bit of turkey.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, what I think everyone will notice, Bears fans, Eddie Pinheiro, 100%. One field goal.
That's good.
And his extra points, he was 3 for 3. So perfect. No problems.
MVP Eddie. I like your hot take, Mitch for MVP. It could happen. So the Bears get a win. Of course, the Saints also, and they become the first team to clinch, lock down their playoff berth. But let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys because they are the headline act this morning, losing 26-15 to the Bills. So much talk before the game that Jerry Jones might be ready to pull the trigger and get rid of Jason Garrett finally after all these years. After the game, of course, speculation mounting and mounting and mounting. The dreaded vote of confidence from Jerry Jones. Jason Garrett is not going anywhere, but surely, Tom, unless he has some kind of remarkable turnaround, his days are numbered.
Yeah, you would think that, especially after that Patriots game where Jerry Jones came out and basically said the coaching was the problem.
We got the players.
Yeah, they're all ready to go. Zeke who? Yeah, we need Zeke. Zeke's back in the team. Jerry, it felt like that was the time that he put the pressure on Jason Garrett to basically say, win this, otherwise you're in trouble. And then when they lost to the Bills, and people are sort of saying the Bills are the legit now, 9-3, they're a good team, defense is rolling. Josh Allen was made to look very strong against that Cowboys team.
Is that the thing Jerry Jones is most worried about, that he made Josh Allen look like
I think he is.
Serious
could have taken him in the draft, maybe got a pick. But Jason Garrett, aka the Clapper, that seems to be what he does. He just claps the team along.
Loves doing that.
But in terms of coaching, I don't know. They've got all the talent there. And I think Jerry Jones is right. They've got the talent. It doesn't seem to be clicking on maybe those plays. There was a bit in the third quarter where they went for it. I think at the time, I think it was 23-7.
Yeah.
And you've got Dak Prescott and the team rolling. Gallup didn't manage to get the ball in the end zone to make the catch. And at that point, they still went for it on fourth down. Didn't get it. Were those sort of the coaching mistakes that Jason Garrett makes where just get the field goal, take the 3 points, you're still in the game?
But I wonder if it last week with against the Patriots, that was playing on his mind when he did take the chip shot field goal and everybody said he should have gone for it on fourth down. So it's understandable that his confidence is being dented at the moment. Interesting, Jerry Jones, of course, who presides over the personnel there. The players are all fine, you know, so keeping himself and his powder dry. But Jerry Jones is going to be an incredibly difficult owner to play under, isn't he? A lot of serious coaches are going to go there. They're not going to go there unless they have personnel decisions. Someone like Belichick, for example, that level of coach. So it limits the options, really. So what is Jerry Jones hoping for? If he doesn't believe in buying Jason Garrett, what kind of character is he looking for?
Well, I who knows? Jerry Jones is what I'd say a difficult GM to be under in terms of looking after.
How would you deal with Jerry Jones?
He's the owner, he's the coach, after that game against the Bills, he was in the locker room, apparently there was lots of screaming, shouting going on, and I like the fact, I don't want to know what was said. That is a team that needs to pull themselves up and deliver, because the way that they've been playing is get to the end zone. It's like queuing up at the supermarket. You've got all your shopping in the trolley. You're there. Let's cash in. Oh, I've forgotten my credit card. Oh, I've forgotten the card. That's what
I use my phone. Oh, I haven't set up.
So the Cowboys are there. They've got all the talent, not doing it. Is that Jason Garrett's fault? Maybe, potentially. He's now rocked. Jerry Jones has said the coaching's up to scratch. They go out there against the Bills. They don't win. Jason Garrett, why is he still in the building? If Jerry Jones is going to get rid of him at the end of the season, do it now. You've still got a chance. There's four games left.
They're still in the hunt. They're in such an easy division, a straightforward division compared to the West, for example, that they're still improbably, despite not having beaten a team with a record over 500, they're still improbably in the playoff hunt. They could end up in the playoffs. And if he puts a little bit of a run together, I mean, this is a lot of Cowboys fans' worst nightmare, isn't it? That somehow they get to the championship game and don't get over the line, and Jason Garrett's got another year.
Yeah. I think, personally, myself, looking at it, Jerry Jones said, call time. Call time on Jason Garrett. End it now. 6-6. End it now. Get someone in. Or just, Jerry, you've got the plans. You've got the blueprint. You know what you want. Tell the team. The only reason Jason Garrett's still in that building is because, obviously, the players still respect and want to play for Jason Garrett. That's why maybe that's what that screaming and shouting was in the locker room. Who do you want in there? Do we want to get rid of? I imagine Jerry Jones was just shouting and Jason Garrett was there and he's just pointing at Jason going, do you want him still here?
Shouting at him in front of the players.
Do you want him still to be the head coach?
And there was lots of, yeah, no.
Yeah, Dak was like, you know, one more game.
We like him.
Yeah. And I think if they get to the playoffs and they make it, I don't think that's a successful season. It is, you've got to the playoffs, but if Jason Garrett's not your man going forward, then why have him still in the building now?
Well, he's got to be a championship game or bust, isn't it? Unai Emery on the market now. Coincidence?
Yeah, I think it's just come at the right time. That's why Jerry said immediately, we're not firing him. But then Unai Emery said, I'm now free. I've got my box all packed from Arsenal. I'm ready.
Interesting, Jerry. If that had happened a little bit sooner, maybe Jerry wouldn't have been as unequivocal there.
Yeah, you'd think that maybe Unai Emery could help the kicking game as well. Two field goals missed. Maybe he could step in. Maybe that's what it's all about.
Let's get to our weekend preview then, Tom Deacon. Only one game.
Yes, please.
There is only one place we can start.
Yeah, the Rams-Cardinals, surely.
No.
This wrong.
Ravens 49.
Yes, of course.
The 9-2 Baltimore Ravens, who, despite not being the number one seed right now in the AFC, and many people's number one in the power rankings in the AFC. Some people are saying number one in the NFL. I'm sure you might beg to differ there. 49ers 10-1. The venerable Earl Thomas, no less, has guaranteed a Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl spot.
Wow.
What are you making of that?
That's big talk, isn't it?
And he's a big man, so
I'm not going to argue with him. No, face to face. At this distance, I'm happy to say I don't agree with him.
Look down the barrel and say, I don't agree with you.
I don't agree with you. Please don't tweet me.
Watch again, listening.
Yeah, and all the rest. And I think this is obviously going to be a huge game. Two very physical teams going head to head. I'm worried as a Niners fan for what Lamar can do. Lamar Jackson he causes constant danger. He makes defenses make mistakes. He is brutal. He runs angry. I'm worried whether the Niners can stop him. On a previous game against the Cardinals, Kyler Murray was running in for touchdowns a couple of times. So It's going to be a massive game, but if anyone can stop those Ravens, who everyone loves in the power rankings, it's going to be that front seven, the Niners. I mean, when you hand out a whooping to the Green Bay Packers and you make Aaron Rodgers look average, you know, anything could happen in this game.
That was a big old win.
Huge win. But the Ravens are so dangerous, and I think that's why people love them. The running game of Lamar Jackson. He's now been up, his rating's gone up on Madden. He's the fastest ever player on Madden. He's gone over Michael Vick, so therefore, Lamar Jackson is the real deal.
If you look at this, it's not, and Lamar Jackson is a key part of that, of that offense, full stop, but of the running side of the offense. But overall, collectively, they have, it's not even close how far ahead they are. They're 700 more yards on the ground than the 49ers, who have the second leading rushing attack. Over three times as many yards on the ground as the Miami Dolphins, who are 32nd. And that, of course, just opens up all kinds of things. You've got to take, load the box. It opens up the play action. He's hitting those passes now that last season he wasn't. They are the real deal offensively, but then the 49ers are the real deal defensively, aren't they? Yeah. A real playmaking D as well.
Yeah, that front seven really does squash the quarterback, makes them make mistakes, gets to them. Even with Russell Wilson in that game, that the only loss of the Niners, Russell Wilson, equally, potentially MVP like Lamar Jackson, he was able to evade a few tackles and sacks here and there, but wasn't firing on all cylinders that night, Russell Wilson. Got enough to get that team across the line.
Right.
But I think Lamar Jackson is so... You don't know how to defend him. If they've got two tight ends in the set, you know they're going to be running the ball. But is it going to be Lamar Jackson? Is it going to be Ingram? He's been so dangerous recently. And then at that point, our safeties, Jimmy Ward, who hits hard, he's going to have to hit hard. You know, you need your cornerbacks to be making tackles, because if the lanes open up for Lamar Jackson, he's gonna run it into the end zone. And that's why it's worrying, because he can pass, he can run himself. He's a triple talented
triple threat.
Yeah,
he's a triple. What would your speed in Madden be?
Mine currently, with the ankle, as you know from our five-a-side matches, I think I'm a toe and ankle. I just, one injury is enough. You don't want to be that sick note.
That guy, yeah, fair enough. we're all playing through pain in our five-a-side team.
I think I'm a solid 68.
Well done, man.
Yeah, thank you. At the moment, with the injuries, I push it up to 72 when I'm fully fit.
Let's talk about the 49ers offense and the importance of George Kittle in that offense. I just want a bit cocky there, George Kittle.
Yeah, George Kittle.
George Kittle.
He did a thing, mate. Leave it out. Kittle's running through, mate.
That's how George Kittle talks about it.
He should do. Yeah.
Cockney Kittle, there's a video. He's such a key part of this offense, the blocking he brings, on top of everything else as well, how he helps establish the direction that Shanahan wants to take. He's such a fundamental player. Winning without him was important, I think, for the 49ers. Now having him back, irrespective of whether Matt Breida starts on Sunday or not, you've got Sanders, Deebo Samuel stepping up as well. It's starting to come good. A really balanced offense, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned about the Ravens. It's not just Lamar Jackson. Overall, they're able to run the football. And when you run the football, you allow defenses don't know whether you're going to run the ball or throw it. You're asking them lots of questions, which they can't set up for. With some teams that aren't good at running the football, you're like, okay, cool, they're going to be passing this, as we saw sometimes with Dak Prescott last night. Mm. The thing is with the Niners, when they begin to run that football, with Mostert, who got a touchdown last week against the Packers, there's Tevin Coleman. Brady has been injured, but Wilson has stepped in as well. Kyle Juszczyk's back. You've got George Kittle. When you open up the talent that we have, it's clicking. Jimmy G looks fantastic as well. He doesn't look afraid to sit in the pocket and throw the dime straight to Kittle. But it has to run together. It has to work. And I think the Niners sometimes have looked a bit shaky when they haven't got that run game going. So against the Ravens, how good is their run defense? We'll find out.
We will know a lot more about how good this 49ers side is, I think, after this game, because they're meeting the Ravens head on, who are in white hot form. Outside of this game, in the NFC, who are you most worried about in terms of the playoff race?
I think I have to say that the Seahawks, they're just behind the Niners. If the Niners lose this one, and I don't care if we lose this, no more injuries. That's all, because next game will be the Saints. And the Saints have obviously clinched their place, but we're a game and a half away from them. So therefore, we need to get... If we don't win this one, stay healthy, beat the Saints, and then we're hopefully getting that home field advantage. But the Seahawks... if they get that win against the Vikings this weekend, or I think it was on Monday morning, then we've got that situation where they're going to be, they're breathing down our necks. That's the problem now. And I think Russell Wilson wins games for them.
That week 17 matchup, of course, could decide the division.
And that's not what we want as we go into Seattle for that.
So who are we picking? I mean, you've got to pick the 49ers, right?
I have to. By default, being a massive Niners fan, I can only see a win here because the blinkers are on.
I like your line earlier. I don't mind if we lose as long as we don't get any injuries. So 48 zip, you'll be okay.
I'd rather take the loss, no injuries, and then just... The thing is, though, Nat, as a Niners fan, you're like, this is a huge game, two physical sides. If we get loads of injuries and then we have to play the New Orleans Saints, say we get that win, brilliant. Yeah. But what about the playoff run? What about... So I'd be start saying, let's conserve the energy on this one. And that might seem a little bit confuddled, a little bit weird as a fan. But I'm like, I'd rather take the loss, keep a healthy team, go into the Saints and then smacking them in the mouth.
This is smacking them with George Kittle leading.
George, what's going on here? Oi, leave it out. This is great fun. George Kittle, the Cockney, that's perfect.
Guy Ritchie casting him and Gronk in a film. Gronk attempting an English accent.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fantastic because he's not coming back to play for the Patriots as much as they think he is. I think the Niners will get this win, and I think it might come as a shock to some people. They're like, you're betting against the team in purple. But I think with that suffocating front defense from the Niners, if we can get an early score, Ravens don't, looked good when they're sort of chasing the game.
Yes.
And obviously once they've got a lead, they run the football and then it's hard to stop.
I like the theory. The points as well. I mean, heavy underdogs. The heaviest underdogs, 10-1 underdogs in years, about 12 years or something crazy.
It's mad.
I think the Ravens might nick it, but I would give the points with the 49ers. Mm. So it's tight, I think. It's certainly tighter than the line suggests.
What do fans say? Let's look at the kickers. Justin Tucker.
He's the one of the best in the business.
Best in the business. And we've got potentially Robbie Gould coming back from injury. If we've got that, that's two solid kickers going head to head. However, if we've got our rookie, I'd give it just on that if it comes down to a field goal, Tucker will win it. What the Niners need to do is condition themselves ready. I don't want any tackling. I just want running. Can you run for four quarters trying to chase down Lamar Jackson? Because he is unreal.
Form a line, maybe?
Yeah, just stop him. Just put all the players in front of him. But condition. That's what I want the Niners to do, to be able to run for those four quarters and chase Jackson. Because he doesn't stop. He doesn't slide as a quarterback. He just... I've got one destination, and that's a touchdown.
He runs hard. Yeah. Okay, I'm picking the Ravens, but I think it will be close. What about Monday Night Football? Vikings heading to Seattle. It's a key showdown for all kinds of reasons, right? Because the Vikings are now looking very seriously at winning the North, which, given the run they've been on, I think they've won six out of seven, in fact, the Vikings.
And what a comeback against those Broncos, eh?
That was such a key game, I think, because we were talking about this last night, that at halftime, there'd been some altercation. We were doing the radio show, and I could see Mike Zimmer kicking off with the officials, and we were trying to find out why it was, whilst doing a live broadcast and 10 other games going on, and we couldn't hear the commentary. Mm. So I hopped onto Twitter to look up Zimmer officials, Zimmer Vikings, different variables, to see if there'd been, to see what exactly had happened there. And Twitter was full of the most abrasive vitriol for Kirk Cousins in particular. Zimmer was getting quite a few pelters as well. Zimmer was getting quite a few pelters as well. And it was the end of the world as far as Vikings fans were concerned. Get fire everybody.
Yeah.
And then an hour and a half later, we're going to the Super Bowl. But I think it was a fundamental game. And I think, I've been going on and on, and you will take the mickey about Kirk Cousins and the Vikings being really underrated. Mm. This could be a really key game because it's another primetime game. He can't win in primetime, everybody says. If he can get a road win here and the Vikings can take control, at least put themselves in the box seat for the NFC North, I think they could go on, and looking at their schedule as well, could go on and possibly break into a top two seeded spot.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings, we did them a favor. When I say we, I had nothing to do with it. I was just a Niners team.
Officially clear.
Yeah, can everyone just, because a lot of people have been tweeting me saying, Tom, how involved are you with the Niners?
Ian Rappaport reported that.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter have both been on the phone to me. And can we just confirm? And I said, I'm not giving a statement. The Vikings, obviously, the Niners beat the Packers. That helps them out. What the Niners need is the Vikings to step up and beat these Seattle Seahawks, who are breathing. I can feel their breath on the neck for Niners fans. But also from a Vikings point, Cousins gets called out, you know, and then he delivers. Mm. And then Stephon Diggs is not getting the football. He's now suddenly looking good. And this is without Adam Thielen, who hasn't been playing.
A hamstring, and he's probably not going to play in this one.
Which is like, hey, cool. Get the job done without him. He can come back healthy as soon as possible. And Dalvin Cook, when he runs that football, Kirk Cousins doesn't have to do too much.
Sure.
Don't give Cousins too much to do. But I think that game against the Broncos really showed the Vikings to be a team that can win somehow, whether, you know, clawing their W out of game. And that, I think, gives them all the confidence to go into this one against the Seahawks, who are not an easy team to play at Century Link. But I feel like the Vikings now know that we can win even when we don't look like we're going to win.
Yeah.
That galvanizes the team, the culture right within them.
Six sacks the Seahawks allowed against Philly, which is it's a strong D, you know, but Russell Wilson getting banged up there still ground out the win, and, you know, impressive. And they had a decent game on the ground as well. Rashad Penny had a career best, I think, and so they've got that double, or that tag team, you know, the tandem at running back, and
obviously Chris Wilson, Carson
in the mix as well. But it's a decent run D for Minnesota, so I think that could be quite a crucial thing. I could see them, if not completely smothering, then certainly slowing that side of it down. And I think you're looking at it altogether differently. Think about how much the Seahawks ran last season, more balanced this year, but it absolutely relies on that chiming for them to be in fifth gear. And I think if the Vikings can close that down to a significant degree, I can see them winning the game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you've still got DK Metcalf. It's a little bit questionable whether he's a little bit banged up. So's Tyler Lockett. But they won that game against the Eagles by running the football. With Sharp. I think it was over 120 yards he got in that game. Tyler Lockett, I think 48 yards. So you're saying really there the imbalance of who's Russell Wilson throwing that football to, but they're getting the wins when they need to. And if this game comes down to a fourth quarter game, as many people know, Russell Wilson, that's where he shines. But you can't rely too much on him. You need to protect him to stay on that field throughout the game. But it's the front D getting to Cousins, which I think it's just going to be not a high scoring game, a close one. I feel like the Seahawks are going to pip the Vikings on this.
I'm taking the Vikings for the road win.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Well, I and again, we're going to hear the clang. I was there when the Ravens beat the Seahawks at CenturyLink this season.
Yeah.
And it's a noisy place. It's actually the most expensive game. If you want to buy a ticket right now, I'm not suggesting you do. It's $180, cheapest ticket.
Is it?
It's that most expensive game of the week. I think the Vikings are going to struggle on the road, and I'm going to back the Seahawks.
All right.
I don't want to. I want that to be very clear.
Absolutely clear. Loud and clear. And Adam Schefter is reporting that you don't want to as well. So that, that's locked in. Okay. Patriots, Texans looks interesting as well. In Houston, of course. The Patriots winning ugly in difficult conditions against the Cowboys last week, holding that Dallas offense that went in there into Foxborough as the number one offense in the NFL to 9 points. And really, as we were talking about at the top of the show, fueling all the speculation that Jerry Jones might be moving on from Jason Garrett. Patriots D getting it done once again. And this is, of course, the concern for Patriots fans at the moment. Other than the team hasn't been tested a huge amount this season because of their schedule, that defensively they are going to hold teams with weapons like the Cowboys to a limited productivity when they're on song. But conversely, they're still not fluent offensively.
No.
I guess what they're looking at, and we talked about this earlier on in the week on the show, N'Keal Harry, who got a touchdown last week, starting to become productive. Mo Sano as a vet will get week after week after week stronger and more familiar with that offense, of course, and Brady will start to trust him more.
Yeah, I think he's on chapter 4 of the offense, playbook.
Is he? Yeah. Speed that up a little bit.
Yeah, it's a chapter a week. He needs to read faster. It's not easy for him. He's got to learn the plays. And he got injured. Download an audiobook. But that's what they should do for the future. It should be the playbook. Yeah. Well, where's the playbook? It's all on this file. Go and listen. And that's why the players have so many headphones.
That's why it is. Or it would just be injected into their brains.
In route, post, route, skinny, 42.
Do you think in the future, in like 100 years, that's what will happen? You're just going to chip put in into your neck and you just know all the plays.
Everyone's going to be wearing glasses. We're going to have some sort of VR on them. And it's basically like the Avengers film, with your main man, Iron Man, who's just going to be there, able to look with his glasses at things, and it's going to be, yeah, the New England Patriots without an offense, people suggest that they're weak in some way. I think they're just beginning to get better. That running game with Michelle, and you've got James White as well. They're beginning to get better. The wide receivers that Tom Brady hasn't been confident with, the longer the season goes on and they don't have to worry about the games they've been losing, they'll get that chemistry. And people have even said that Tom Brady, this isn't the Tom Brady of old. When's he going to come back to form? He may never. This is where he's at, but he's still winning games. And that's why they're so dangerous. It annoys me.
Yeah, so many parallels with different sports and, you know, and you love your football as well. Players getting to a certain age and just refining and adapting the way that they play. And that, to a strong degree, is where Brady's at. He might not be as productive ever again, but if he is, and there's maybe a handful of quarterbacks you would put on a par with him in terms of obviously experience, but football brain as well, and the speed and the fact that he can just take one step to the left or right.
Yeah.
And affect so much of what is going on around him. He doesn't necessarily need to be that productive. If the defense is playing this well, and people are hyping up, well, Brady, I think there's that where I saw the other day was he's had less than 300 passing yards for five straight games now.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
They're 10-1.
You're looking at stats on a player and go, well, he hasn't, at this stage last season, he had 3,000 plus yards passing. He hasn't managed that this year. It doesn't matter. They're still winning. And that's the sign of a player that doesn't need to carry the team. Brady is just facilitating, protecting the football, allowing the Patriots. I think he's only had five interceptions. He's just protecting the football, letting the defense win the game when he's called upon. In certain games, and maybe we'll have to with this Houston Texans, who are a dominant offensive team with Watson, he'll have to step up. That's the moment when I think the good old Brady will shine.
Will Houston put points up, though, against this secondary? Stephon Gilmore, incidentally, missed practice, I think, on Wednesday with illness, but they will hope he's good to go. That matchup against Hopkins is going to be fascinating. If they can keep Hopkins, Will Fuller in check as well. Yes, Deshaun Watson, much like Russell Wilson we were talking about earlier, is one of those players that, irrespective of the coverage that he's up against, can dink and dive and twist and turn and keep things alive. But he's, if the secondary holds up as it has done for most of the season, I can't see Houston getting much going here.
No. By the way, I've got an inside report on Stephon Gilmore. It's because he owns Amari Cooper's soul now. He's taken the week off after that performance. Do we need to double team Cooper? Well, we might do. No, we've got Stephon Gilmore. He's just taken a week of partying, just relaxing.
He had one more catch than Amari Cooper. Come on. I bet he whispered that as he ran off. Come on, catch is a new boy.
You're right. I think the only way to play the New England Patriots at the moment is to run that football. You've got Carlos Hyde there, who's coming up to almost 1,000 yards. You've got Duke Johnson as well. You know, offensive for catching the football and running with it as well. Watson have to play cleverly with this. He plays inside the pocket, outside the pocket. You're right. The defense is going to hold up for the Patriots. However, you know, I look at this and I think the Texans are going to score points. It's just whether they can protect and it balances itself out.
Yeah, that line
out
as well, of course, which seems to be going back to the bad old Texans line, letting, you know, Watson's just taking sacks again and again after, you know, seemingly rehabilitated a few weeks back, regressing again. I'm picking the Pats for the road win.
Do you know what? I'm going to pick the Texans on this. Just to be different. I like the fact that Bill O'Brien, obviously, before was the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots and a quarterback's coach as well. I think he's going to get inside Brady's head. We all know the Patriots are going to win, but I'm rooting for the Texans on this. I'm rooting for them.
You want the Texans to win. Back to the audiobook, the Patriots audiobook. Who would read it? Would it be Brady? Would it be McDaniels? Would they get Gronk in to do it?
I think it'll be a mixture of former players who didn't get a new contract because they were too expensive. So there's a slight bitterness on the end of every sentence they've got.
Chapter 5, Randy Moss.
But I do love the fact that the Patriots, Belichick, saw this quote from him, "We're not collecting talent, we're building a team." It's an amazing line where even though you think, who is their offensive weapon in this? Julian Edelman's banged up. They're a team and they will grind out this result.
Yeah.
I'm not going back on it though. I want the Texans to win and I'm all for them. If they run that football, they'll get the win.
A stunning stat, stunning bit of data, what's the word I'm looking for? There was some information from last week's
algorithm.
Game.
Algorithm.
They had four starting receivers suited up last week, because Dorsett was banged up as well.
Yeah.
One of the four was Matthew Slater. I mean, that's how
wow
thin they were last week, and they still got the win.
Yeah. And probably that's why Tom Brady's not throwing the football. He's holding on to it, right, and he's just like, do you know what? I'm going to throw this away. Nothing's
open. Okay, I like the Raiders Chiefs matchup. I think that's interesting. Everybody is saying the Chiefs are going to blow them away. It's in Arrowhead, of course, yeah, and the Raiders were blown away themselves by the Jets last week, which was one of the most disappointing performances, I think, of the season, given they turned the corner. This Raiders team, they were suddenly in the mix. Maybe they could catch the Chiefs for the West. If not, they look like could get a wild card. They get absolutely shellacked by the Jets and they dropped to 6-5. Gruden just looked broken, so fed up afterwards. And now they're going to go to Arrowhead where the Chiefs can put the West to bed, I think. I think the Chiefs will win this, Tom.
Mm.
But I think it's going to be closer than some people are suggesting.
Guess what, Nat?
Tell me.
Throwing my name out there.
Tom.
Did you use the phrase shellac?
I did.
As in like nails. I've heard that shellacking. I don't know what it is. I've heard many just going to get my nails shellacked. The Raiders have nothing to be thankful for Thanksgiving.
Ooh,
because
I see what you did.
The Bills didn't help them out, and the Bears winning means I think they've got the first round pick from the Bears. The Bears continue to win. The Raiders have nothing to be grateful about. Their confidence is not. They go to the Arrowhead. Derek Carr is 0-5 at the Arrowhead.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to say he's also not as good in bad weather. Who is though? To be grand. Get yourself a North Face on.
That's a column, my dear. For next
Who plays well in
players,
bad weather?
Bad weather players.
And Andy Reid is 17-3, coming off a bye week. I mean, this is
the bye week, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, this one is game, set, and match. I can't see the Chiefs not winning this quite convincingly. And the fact that Derek Carr, I mean, everyone's confidence is down. If I could lip read, I might learn that as a skill to see John Gruden to what he said during that game against the Jets.
Yeah.
The only way they possibly can hurt the Chiefs
Mike
Glennon came in, fumbled on his first chance. And John Gruden was like, oh my, the lip reading.
Glennon.
But Jacobs running this. This is obviously a repeat of week two where the Chiefs won again. Jacobs is the only way that the Raiders are going to hurt this Chiefs team.
Absolutely. They're ranked 28th against the run, the Chiefs. You can run on the Chiefs. And I know that Jacobs got neutralized by, that's very painful, by the Jets last week.
He was walking funny.
The Jets closed him down. But that is a really, really strong run D. That is what was expected. If the Jets were able to do that, it's no surprise they went on to dominate the game. I'm not sure the Chiefs can contain him. And I think it gives them a puncher's chance. Like, I think the Chiefs win the game, but I just don't think they win by double digits.
Okay, so what you're so when I said, I said these bitter rivals, it's a must-win game for the Raiders and for the Chiefs. But I was too. You think I was too in the Chiefs camp there? I'll even up a little bit. I think the Chiefs really need to lift their run game and not put it all on Mahomes' back. Mm. But guess what? Mahomes is going to light it up at the end of this game. Nat, 8-4 will be the Kansas City Chiefs. They get the W.
Okay, where are we going to go next?
Well, how about I go with this question for you, Nat? Normally you ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the Seahawks are the most expensive ticket if you want to go and watch that game against the Vikings. Who's the cheapest game of the week?
Cheapest game of the weekend. Okay, there have got to be some contenders here. So I don't think it is going to be... Hang on, let me have a look. Is it...
And what I like is everyone listening right now has got time to think about it as well. It's deliberate. It's all deliberate.
I reckon it is the Jets or the Bengals.
Correct.
Yes.
A massive $9, which is probably the cost of a beer.
$9.
$9.
I think about it because Jets fans, because it's New York, you know, spread around over the country. It's in Cincy, so...
It's not too far. You're going east. You're like getting a flight eastwards. I don't think people order a flight like that. I'm going eastwards. Which way are you going? We can stop at Cincy. Okay, I'll go there.
Okay.
0-11, the Bengals. And what I like about this game in the Paul Brown Stadium is Andy Dalton is back, came into the press conference, little smile on his face and said, I'm back. And Zach Taylor, the experiment to go with Ryan Finley, he can't. His job's on the line. You've got this is the worst start ever for the Bengals in their history.
I think his job is on the line because everyone was saying, "Well, look, the Bengals are rubbish. It's his first season. He's one of these highly touted young gun coaches. He'll be fine." If they go, certainly 0-16. If they go 1-15, it's a very real chance he doesn't keep the comeback.
Yeah. It was it Wilkes at the Cardinals last year?
Steve Wilkes,
who is now at Cleveland. Is he Cleveland? He's on a defensive side of things. For me, looking at Zach Taylor, this, I think it's going to be a one and done. I really do at the moment. They're talking about AJ Green may return for this game. No chance. I think he'll come back at some point so that the Bengals can say, he's still fit. He's still one of the top five wide receivers in the league.
Yeah.
And then trade him.
And then deal him. Yeah.
And exactly. then deal him. I like the fact that the Jets are beginning to roll. We all questioned Joe Douglas, the GM, and when it was the trade deadline and who he didn't want in the team. But it just beat the Raiders very convincingly. Sam Darnold looks back to that sort of form.
Ever since they gave Adam Gase the gig for next year, they said, yeah, no, we're not getting rid of him. They suddenly all played fine.
And I think we can all learn that from whatever job you work in. Just tank a little bit. Not too much, just a little bit. Yeah. And then say, I want a new contract. And if you get dealt it, then go back to your full potential.
Love it. I love it. Hey, here's a good game with respect to Jets, Bengals, Titans, Colts, because the South is looking really, really interesting. The Titans smashed the Jags last week. Mm. And such a complete performance there. Tannehill has been a revelation since he's gone in as starter. Derek Henry, who has got a dinged hamstring apparently, so keep an eye on his.
When you say dinged hamstring, it's just
not a medical term.
It's like a granddad. Someone's just run up, kneed him, and gone granddad, and walked away, and he's still getting repercussions.
I think it was an all-five-a-side game on Tuesday that happened. Henry pinged his hammy.
Yeah, he's playing for the other team.
He's leading the NFL in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns since week 9. They are suddenly the Titans, I think, maybe the favorite for the division.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that. Mike Vrabel made the best decision that a coach can. You've got to say, we're not winning. We're not playing well. The offense stinks.
Yeah.
I don't think any Titans fan would disagree with me on that. I need to change the quarterback here. And out goes Mariota. Tannehill comes in. What knee injury? That's what people are saying. What knee injury?
Right.
Adam, he's running the football. They're 4-1 with him under the helm. And like you say, Henry, last two games, over 150 yards running the football. If they can continue to let Henry run the football, they're a dangerous team. I wouldn't go against them. And defensively, they shut out the Jags in that game as well.
So together. Also going into this one, no Marlon Mack again for the Colts. T.Y., who has been banged up a fair bit this season, limited in practice on Wednesday.
I think he's going to be out, personally.
And Jacoby Brissett, who of course has had injury issues himself, has really regressed in recent weeks. Having been, you remember, on the long list anyway for the MVP chat for quite a few weeks. He's had one passing touchdown or less, so basically no or one per game in four straight games now, and he had 14 in his first six. So things go in the wrong direction for the Colts.
Yeah, I think what happened, Brian Hoyer came in and stunk things out a little bit. I don't know if that's technically true.
He did all right.
He did.
He did what Brian Hoyer was going to do as a career backup.
Yeah. I mean, Frank Reich is very much missed at the Eagles right now. And he is able to get this team rolling. However, Brissett, exactly like you said, he hasn't got over 150 yards passing in the last three games he's played. That's not the level when you need to move those chains. Mm. Eric Ebron's out now. Mm. He's on injured reserve. Funchess is out. I mean, who do they go to? Only Jonathan Williams is the exciting player for them right now. Mm. The offensive line is helping that run game, but against the Titans, if they can stop the run, you'd say either Jacoby Brissett finds some form again, otherwise they're staring down the barrel of another loss.
Taking the Titans.
I would take the Titans on this because I also know for a fact they've got two kickers in their squad now.
What?
Yeah, they've got two kickers, which I thought was really interesting. They got Ryan Suckup, obviously coach's favourite, and and you've got a new guy that's coming, Ryan Santoso, who's in the squad as well. So I don't know what his role is.
It's a 53-man roster. Is he a place kicker then? Must be.
He's going to have to come in.
He's got
two kickers. Two kickers in that team. Titans, when you have got 52 players and a kicker and you're getting another win. So essentially, what? No, let me correct that. That's 51 players and two kickers.
And two kickers,
and they're beating the Colts this weekend.
Do you think he's going to keep adding kickers?
To prove a point.
By the Super Bowl, they have nine kickers.
Everyone's like, surely they can't win.
Mike, no more kickers, okay?
And Mike Vrabel was like, give me one more. One more.
Get me Dan Bailey's number.
Deal.
The draft next year.
Yeah.
The Titans draft meeting. Let's just have a rethink about this board for a minute. Vrabel releases a board with six kickers on.
Yeah. All right.
One to six.
All right, I agree. Let's take one off. This game, $24 cheapest ticket. Okay. And I'd say that is the best game for value for money.
That is definitely $24.
I don't know why I've added this feature to your show.
Every time you come, you should. Brown Steelers. Tasty, of course, because it was the game or the matchup a few weeks ago when it all kicked off and Myles Garrett did what he did and suspended for the season now. Marquise Pouncey won't play in this game because he was suspended for a shorter period of time for his involvement in that fight.
No one's talking about it though, Nat. That's the interesting thing. No one in the facility or building is talking about what happened.
We move on.
And the rumor that was going around that if you were going to wear a Myles Garrett top,
yes,
to
the, because it's at Heinz Field, of course,
to Heinz Field, you would be banned. That is officially not true. However, it sets that precedent. No one wants to talk about it. They just want to leave it on the field. The football matters.
Do you see what the Browns fans were doing with the, some Browns fans were doing with the pinatas?
Yes, what was it? Well, I know what a piñata is. Yeah. So yeah, they were hitting the piñata.
And the piñata was either Myles Garrett or Sam Darnold. Or Mason Rudolph.
Got you. Wow.
It was against the Jets. So why would it be Sam Darnold? Sorry, Sam Darnold. But I don't know whether they were going as far as to have the piñata built as Mason Rudolph.
Wow.
And smacking it, which would be very, very low blow. Or whether they were sending up, I mean, I don't really think you should be joking about one of your players smacking another player around the head with a helmet, but
I mean,
a lot of friskiness which will roll into this weekend.
100%. To say that they're not going to talk about it, that's fine. It's all about business as usual. However, I mean, Mason Rudolph is out of the game,
right?
And he's not out of the game because of that altercation
I take your point, not directly, but I think indirectly he might well have been. He's a young player. It really affected him. Garrett, in his defense, when he was appealing, I should say, came out and said that a racial slur had been thrown by Rudolph to him, which Rudolph completely denied, and there's no, that hasn't been substantiated. The amount of attention this has got, he's a young player. I don't know whether Tomlin looked at it and thought, okay, he's not playing well either, but I'm going to take him, pull him out of last week's game because we've got this game.
Mm.
Next weekend, the Browns coming back, and he's going to be, you would hate to think he'd be a marked man.
Yeah.
The Browns, you know, it's not like Greg Williams is running the show anymore in that respect, but you would understand why a coach with the experience of Mike Tomlin's taken out his young quarterback for reasons other than just performance.
Maybe. I mean, that whole thing where Myles Garrett, I think it was a sack and just laid on top, full weight on Rudolph. What was said, what wasn't said, what happened should never have happened.
Yeah.
And it's escalated. And I think you're right. I think Mike Tomlin is a very strong coach. He makes decisions when he has to. In that game against the Bengals, who looking like they might get their first win of the season, he said Rudolph's not doing this. There was four interceptions against the Browns in the previous meeting. I think he's going with the duck. The duck is fearless. He wasn't involved in that. And I think there can be no repercussions of the Browns trying to take that extra sack or injuring any players. Not that I'm saying there would be retaliation, but you think there might be still a chip on people's shoulders from that game.
People like that. Steelers fans seem to like Devlin Hodges. He came in and threw a bomb last week, and or certainly Washington helped him. It was a 40-yard pass, and then yards after the carry made it, I think, about 70. So impressive and explosive touchdown there.
Which, and your doppelganger as well. Let's not forget that. What did you think about that? Tweet about it.
I loved it. Yeah. I particularly loved the flattering photo he used of me, which I think I said I'm going to use in my headshot.
Listen, when you click on images, there's a whole roster that comes up. I went with the one that most looked like Delvin Hodges. That's what happened. I think it's strong coaching for Mike Tomlin to say, look, Mason is not getting the job done right now. Has it completely shot his confidence? Maybe, but it doesn't matter. The Steelers are 6-5. Cleveland Browns are 5-6. The Steelers need to make sure they've got that edge on the Browns. They need to get a win, and they've got no Juju Smith-Schuster
or James Conner maybe as well. I mean, I think, and the Browns on that point, and we've talked about it a fair bit on the show, that the ease of their running, the Ravens is the toughest gig they've got, but they've got the Bengals a couple of times, Miami, well, obviously they had Miami last week, 5-6. No, 10-6 will almost certainly get a wild card. 9-7 probably will. I think the Browns go to Pittsburgh with those injuries, win the game, and I think they could be rolling to a 9-7 record and maybe a playoff berth.
Wow. So both teams, the Browns and the Steelers, would be 6-6. I'd agree with you on the fact that Chubb is running the football. Kareem Hunt's getting back in the mix.
Odell got his first touchdown since week 2, I think.
Yeah, since he was at the Giants. No, that's not true. But it feels like that way. And Landry as well. Olivier Vernon might be back. I agree. I think you look at the weapons that the Browns have, I think they're going to edge this game, even with Fitzpatrick and Watt and the other defenders on that Steelers team. I think the Steelers are going to lose this one. But I think it's going to be a tasty match because we're all remembering the previous encounter.
Right, we've got to rattle through the others. Packers, Giants in New York. Any chance that the Giants get the upset here? Saquon Barkley, really underperforming this season. Hasn't had over 100 rushing yards since week 2. Danny Dimes just coughing up the ball left, right, and center after his promising start. Golden Tate, one of the bright sparks there. Concussion could be out of the game as well. Surely this is the Packers all over, right?
I'm afraid so. And after the Green Bay Packers were dished up a bowl of humble pie by the Niners, Aaron Rodgers will come straight back to form.
It's the wrong time to play him, right?
The sack monster. I'm afraid Danny Dimes is going to be picking up Dimes off the floor on several occasions during this match. And yeah, I mean, the Green Bay, I can't see any other result.
Eagles, Dolphins in Miami. The Eagles double digit favorites for this one, despite their loss against the Seahawks and the fact that offense just isn't working at all. Carson Wentz looks a shadow of the player he was before the injury in that Super Bowl season. He is due a strong game. It's a nice matchup for him, of course, with a weak Miami defense, despite what they're trying to do and battling games with Fitz and co offensively. Surely the Eagles get the road win and go to 6-6.
Yeah, and what they won't need Wentz to do is to throw the football that much, and they'll get the win. Just run it is the way forward. You've got Sanders. Jay Ajayi's back.
Which was nice to see.
In that last game, we thought that maybe
going back to Miami, right?
Yeah, which will be a lovely little rematch for him.
That's such a good point, mate. I think they're going to give the rock to Ajayi a lot in this game because he's going to want to pound Miami after how that went down.
I think when you think about that more, actually, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be JJ.
I'm going to put JJ back in my daily fantasy. There you go, Paddy Power Fantasy League.
Well, the only thing is Jordan Howard limited in practice, but might come back. You've got Sanders there as well.
Yeah.
The problem with the Eagles, they can't catch the football, which I'm sure they're practicing in training.
Literally can't catch.
They must be. Zach Ertz is their biggest offensive weapon. Dallas got out last week in that loss to the Seahawks, fumbled the ball very near the goal line. I think the Eagles are going to get this win. Moving forward for the Dolphins, offensively, they've only got Devontae Parker and Allen Hurns as their wide receivers. So the lad called Isaiah Ford is going to get promoted. I think we all remember him from the round 7 2017 draft. He's coming up from the practice squad.
I've got a whole file on him.
I think you're the only one. Virginia Tech's finest.
He'll wipe the smile off your face.
If you put out a dossier and just ka-dum as the paperwork falls on, file this by tomorrow, Tom.
The Isaiah Ford files.
No pass protection. Good luck, Fitz, with this one.
Yeah, agreed. Bucks at the Jags, two teams whose playoffs ambitions are done, both 4-7. So barring something extraordinary happening, they are done for the season in that respect. And the Jags, of course, blown away, as we said earlier on, by the Titans. So really miserable old time for them after it looked at one stage they'd managed to get themselves right back in that really competitive AFC South. They've been on the wrong streak, allowing teams to run all over them. We've mentioned Derrick Henry. Marlon Mack had done it before as well. Can't really call this one particularly clearly. The Bucs are going to lay on a lot of points, but they've got a suspect defense. It's in Jacksonville. Foles will want to put up some kind of credible performances. He's come back. He hasn't really done that.
I'm so, worth the money.
Yeah, right. Well, right. I reckon we got to rattle through this. So I'm saying Bucks get the road win.
I would agree with you. Both teams are terrible at protecting the quarterback in terms of sacks. I want another touchdown for Vita Vey.
Every week.
It's got to be. Look, he's around one pick. He's doing the business. I think.
Has he scored more touchdowns than Odell Beckham? He's scored as many.
No, he hasn't.
Quiz question.
There we go.
Who are you picking?
I'm picking No Risk It, No Biscuit, Bruce Arians. He's hired to coach one player. That's Jameis Winston. And he turns up and gets this. However, 100 turnovers in 67 games for Jameis Winston is a phenomenal stat, which you look at this. And I put money, not that I have any, all on Jameis Winston interception or definitely a fumble turnover.
Yeah. Okay, two more. Give me a winner and a line as to why. Rams at the Cardinals.
Rams are paying Goff far too much money and that's too much weight on his shoulders. I reckon the Cardinals get this win. Cliff Kingsbury, they're an exciting team. I don't think they're 3-7-1 gives them respect and justice. Kirk's looking good as a wide receiver. Cooper, Fitzgerald still got it. Todd Gurley can't run with the football as well as he can. I think this Rams team sucks right now.
6-5. Do you reckon they get a 6-6? I like the Rams. I'll beg to differ with you there. I think they get the robot to keep it going.
Why? One point on that because the Rams just don't look like it's moving along in terms of any confidence that
have talked a lot about how that line has changed and how that has affected the offense significantly this season. I don't think it's become a bad offense out and out, and I think McVay knows the season's on the line. I think he will scheme and put a game plan together that will do just enough to get the road win here. And I think I'm still not sure if they make the playoffs, but I think they get the win against the Cardinals because I think McVay knows everything was on the line, and I think he will get a performance out of his players. The final one is the Redskins Panthers.
Yes, and
in Carolina.
Yeah, and we've got the Chargers against Denver Broncos as well.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. So, because I'm getting Harry's giving me a kind of combination of menacing looks and the wind-up signal. So, I reckon pick those one point on each and why you think they're going to win.
I feel like the Chargers are going to get the win against the Broncos as long as they remember how to run the football and don't ask Rivers to drop back and throw interceptions. I think the Chargers will get that win.
Sounds like a decent game plan. It's in Denver. Tough one.
I reckon
they get the road win as well.
Okay.
And the Panthers?
Surely the Panthers, because I tell you what, no matter what happens in this result, Ron Rivera is out. The whole team is, the whole roster, everything's going to be changing there, in my humble opinion. Cool. But I feel like they will pick up on a bombshell.
Tom Dickey, you started strongly with the flashing lights on the jumper. You ended on everything's changing in Carolina. I don't know quite
what to make of that.
I need to go and sit and ponder that statement.
I feel like it's good just to end nicely on that.
It's a classic stand-up, right? Leaving wanting more. Great stuff. Tom Dickey Comedy is how you follow Tom on all social media, I guess, not just Twitter.
Yeah, I mix things up on Twitter, Tom H. Deacon, because, you know, the H is important,
yeah.
And then Tom Deacon Comedy on Instagram. But it's a pleasure to be here and chat, and I know that a lot of NFL fans, this is the exciting period and the crying period for a lot of teams.
Big time. A lot will get sorted out in December. A lot will get sorted out this weekend. Look after yourself, mate.
Thank you very much for having me.
Fine work from Deeks. As I said at the top of the show, the OG... back tomorrow for some daily fantasy stylings. fantasy.paddypower.com/league/NatCoombshow is how you get involved with our listener league. Get a team in for free and you could end up winning cash prizes. We're back Monday, of course, reacting to all the key action from the weekend. Also going to be joined by Jacob Barner, who you might have heard of, has just set a Guinness World Record for visiting all 32 NFL teams in a record 84 days. He's been a busy man, but not too busy to talk to us. So Jacob will be on the show on Monday. Looking forward to catching up with him. We'll see you then. Bye for now.